Now we're holding on Samach Gimel Amr Aleph, the first Mishnah. We've been talking all this time, the last parak and the beginning of this parak, about animal korbanos, but we know that there's also other kinds, so now let's talk about those. The Mishnah says, Minochos hoinikmotis b'cholmokam ba'azara. A mincha, you could take the koimetz from anywhere in the azara, unlike kodshe kodshim that we've been learning, they have to be shechted and the blood has to be received in the north. And the kmitza, the Gemara explains in other places that the kmitza is kind of the equivalent of the shchita. Nevertheless, it does not have to be done in the north. What you have is by mincha, you have four avodas corresponding to the four avodas of an animal korban. The kmitza corresponds to the shchita. The placing the kmitz into another kli shoris corresponds to Kabbalah. You walk it over to the mizbeach, just like you do with the blood of the korban, and you throw the kmitz into the fire, like the way you sprinkle the blood. Nevertheless, we're saying that that the kmitza does not have to be done in the north, as we're going to work out in the Gemara. They can be eaten anywhere inside the curtains, which is to say, anywhere inside the Azara. By the male kohenim, b'chol machol, prepared any way they want. Now there is the rule that it does have to be kept. Masa. They can't make the shirayim chometz. The Gemara talks about in other places. But other than that, they can prepare. Let's say now some menachas come already baked or fried. But then there are, for example, the minchas solas, which is flour together with oil. It's topped with levoina, but the levoina is removed and burnt down on mizbeach. So you're left with flour and oil. They can bake that to cook. That or whatever, however they like, as long as they don't make it chometz. L'yoyim v'layla, for a day and a night, ad chatzos, until chatzos, because it's, so Rashi points out, where do we know these particular details? It can be eaten only by the male kohenim, because the posik, which the Gemara is going to quote, a phrase from that posik mentions, kol korbanim l'chom in chosim l'chol chatosim, mentions the menachos and the chatois, among other korbanos, and continues, b'kodesh ha-kodoshim techlenu, you have to eat it in the holy place, we'll see in the Gemara what that phrase, b'kodesh ha-kodoshim techlenu, means, kol zocho, yoichal oisai, any male can eat it, from which we see that it's dafka, a male kohenim can eat it. As far as the yam, l'yem v'layla ha-chatzoi, Rashi says we learn from the lachmei toida. Toida comes together with 40 loaves of bread, as we've talked about before, and as we're going to learn again more in the later in the Masechta, and the Torah as a whole, including all the bread, can be eaten only l'yom v'layla ad chatzos. So that's the case with any other mincha as well. You notice, by the way, the Mishnah uses the expression that the kmitza can be b'chol makom ba'azara, any place in the azara, but then when it comes to eating, it says lefnim min akloim, inside the curtain. So the lefnim min akloim is the same expression that we were using in the previous parak over and over to say where kodshim can be eaten, so therefore it uses the same phrasing. But as far as the kmitza, the chiddush is that it's not just there, that it can be eaten, that it can be done anywhere in the azara, so that's similar to in the previous parak. We had by Kodshim Kalim, Shchitos and B'chol Mokam Ba'azara. So in other words, when it comes to the Shchita, the expression is B'chol Batsofen and B'chol Mokam Ba'azara, whereas when it comes to the eating, the expression is Lefinim and Akloyim versus B'chol Ha'ir, as you have by Kodshim Kalim.
Why they call Lachme Toda when there was, it was Matzah, it was not Lechem?
Well, Matzah is also Lechem. We say in Hamotzi Lechem in Aretz, right? 10 of them actually were.
Well, that's the general
10 of them were actually comets, but the other 30 were matzah. But it doesn't matter. Lechem means any time that you're taking flour and baking it into a bread-like thing. So it doesn't matter whether it's puffed up like bread or whether it remains flat like matzah. Either way, it's still called lechem. We see the Torah in a few places called it lechem matzahs. Here Rashi, by the way, is saying that the limud is from Lachmei Toda, although the Sfasemis wonders that the Lachmei Toda are not in fact called a mincha, and the fact is they're kodshim talim, whereas the mincha is kodshim kodshim. In fact, Rashi, and in fact, Mesoras HaShas over here refers to Rashi and Menachos, which gives a different explanation. It says over here, it's Sorach Iyur, and we need to understand why Rashi says differently over here. Over there in Menachos, Rashi says the reason is because a mincha is like there's a hekesh between it and a chatas and an osham, where they're eating only the yom v'layla at chatzos, and therefore mincha is the same thing. Okay, so the Gemara starts off. Amar Rav Elazar, Mincha Shenichmetza Beheichol. Suppose they took the koimex of the mincha inside the heichol. So then Kshera, it would still be kosher. Because we see when it comes to removing the bazichin. Now you have the lechem afanim is sitting on the shulchan from Shabbos to Shabbos, and together with it you have two spoonfuls of levoina. Then on Shabbos they take out the spoon, they take the lechem afanim off the shulchan, they take the bazichin and they offer them on the mizbeach achitzin. As we learned before, there's a special wood pile for that for that purpose. Or that's the same wood pile that they would use to take coals for the keturis every day, is the same one on the same pyre on which they burn these bazichin, and then they eat, and then the koinim, then they distribute the lachma upon him, and the koinim eat it. Those bazichin are considered the equivalent of the koimets of a mincha, the same way as a regular mincha. You take the koimets and burn it on the mizbeach here, and the pasuk calls it azkara, like the memorial of the korban, the part that makes it, so to speak, remembered by Hashem as a korban to be mechaper. The same way with the lechem aponim, the levoina fills that role. So therefore, says Rabbi Elazar, the same way as there, you're taking the koimets inside the heichel, the same way. Other menachas, you can also do that. So doesn't mean b'diavad, but Tosfos points out that the Gemara is going to mention soon a different reason called lo yehi tofel chama min ha'ikar, that you can't say that the secondary thing should be stronger than the ikar. We're going to learn later on when it comes to shechting shlomim over there. So you can't say then by a kavah chosah. In other words, you can't say that something should be kosher in the azara and posel in the heichel, which has a higher level of kedusha. Here Tosfos points out we can't say that because that's by shlomim the Torah insists pesach oyel moed. So the Torah considers oyel moed to be the ikur. But when it comes to a mincha, we don't really have that. Therefore, we need Rav Elazar's svara that we can learn from the bazichin of the lachem afanim. However, the Gemara says Masiv Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah says I have a contradiction to that. A braisa says for komatz mishong. The pasuk describes when a person brings a korban mincha, and the pasuk says that the kohen should take kmitza from there. Now, what's the from there? Means mimokim should ragle hazor oimdis. Means it has to be. It means it's from a place where a zor is able to stand. Namely, the mishom is referring back to the pasuk begins. The section about mincha begins that a person brings a korban mincha. He brings it, al bnei Aaron HaKohen, and who's the he who brings it? Anybody who brings a mincha, which could include a zor. And then it continues, he'll come off Misham, and then he takes a kmitza from there. So that means, from there, from where the owner is standing, is where he takes the mit, is where he takes the koinets. Now on the face of it, a zor is not allowed to go into certain parts of the azara. You have the Ezra Yisrael, you have the Ezra Koyanim on an 11 amma wide strip. Maybe zorim are able to come in there sometimes, but definitely not in the area of Bena Ulam Bala Mizbeach, the 22 ammas between the front of the Heichel and the Mizbeach. A zor is not allowed to go in there. So on the face of it, at this point, the Braitzer is saying that you're not allowed to do kmitza over there. So if you're not allowed to do kmitza there, how could you do it in the Heichel, where for sure a zor can't go? And the Braisa continues. So before we get to the answer, let's quote the rest of the Braisa. Ben Beseda Omer. Ben Beseda says, we can darshan from this word Misham a different drasha. Minayim shim komas bismoil. How do we know that if the Kohen did kmitza with his left hand, and he has to do the kmitza with his right hand. She yachzir, he has to put that mincha back. He has to put that koimetz back in the yichmetz v'yamin and take kmitza with the right hand. How do we know that? We don't say the mincha is posel. Now, for example, with an animal that was shechted or the blood was received, we learned earlier in the Masechta that if it was done with the left hand or by a zor or whatever, there may not be any way of fixing it up. But with a mincha, you can put back in the flour that you just took out. You can put back in. So therefore, how do we know, says Ben Beseda, that you have to do that? Therefore, the pasuk says bishom that he should take kmitza from there, implying mimakom shakamatz kvar from the place where he already took the kmitza. So we see another. So Ben Beseda says that's what we're learning. That's what we're learning from the word mishom, not necessarily about the area of the azara where the kmitza can be done, but rather what happens if the kmitza was taken wrongly. There are mafoshim, there are achronim, we'll discuss on the face of it, the Gemara is just bringing the end, this part of the Braisa, because as usual, when it quotes a Braisa, it wants to quote the whole thing. With that said, there are different explanations among achronim, what the point is of quoting that part of the Braisa. It's more than just to quote the entire Braisa, it helps us understand, it helps us sharpen and understand the question that Rabbi Yirmiyah is asking, that you see that the mincha, that you see that there are areas of the Azara where you can't take a mincha. So Rashi had said, Bein Olam Olam Mizbeach, by the way, the Shittim Kubetza says that it might also be to be Mamayat the Heichel, and in that case, then the question is more explicit. It says clearly in the Braisa that you can't take a Kmitzah in the Heichel. Anyway, so the Gemara says, Ika da Amri, so now two versions of what Rabbi Elazar answered. Rabbi Yirmiyah, rather. Some say, Hu Moisiv Lava Hu Mefarik La. Rabbi Yirmiyah had asked the question, and Rabbi Yirmiyah himself provided the answer. And Ikad Amni Amalei Rabbi Akiva LeRabbi Yirmiyah BaTachlifa As BeRalach. Or some say that Rabbi Akiva said to Rabbi Yirmiyah BaTachlifa, I'll explain it to you. Not Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was a Tana generations earlier. It's supposed to be Rabbi Yaakov, as it says on the side. Anyway, so two versions. Either Rabbi Yirmiyah came up with the answer himself, or somebody else came up with the answer. Either way, the answer is no. Lo Nitzricha. The reason why the pasuk says v'kamatz misham, not to say that there are parts of the Azara where you can't take the koymetz, but on the contrary, ela lahakshu kola Azara kola, on the contrary, to say that the entire Azara is kosher for kmitza. And you need that sakad adachamina. Otherwise, you would have thought toyo v'ola kodshe kodshim or mincha kodshe kodshim. Since after all, both an ola and a mincha are both in the class of korbanos that are called kodshei kodshim, you would say, you would make a binyan av and say, ma oila to'unat sofen, just like the oila has to be shechted, dafka in the north, at mincha to'unat sofen, in the same way mincha has to be done, the kmitzah has to be done only in the north. So the word misham teaches us that you can also shecht it in the Ezras Yisrael, and not necessarily only in the northern part of it. And in fact, earlier in the Masechta, we had a machloikas anyway, what part of the Azara is considered Sofen? Is it only the part directly north of the Mizbeach? Is it also the area northwest of that, closer to the Heichel? Is it also the area northeast of that, which would include half of the Ezras Yisrael? So not even everybody agrees that the Ezras Yisrael is part of Sofen anyway, and yet the words of Kamat Misham are teaching us that you're able to do the Kmitza there, so that's how we know the Din of our Mishnah, that you can do the Kmitza, and where a Zorah can stand, but it's not meant to exclude the rest of the Azorah and the rest of the Heichel. It's rather to include the area where the Zorah can stand. So the Gemara says you want to make a binyan av from oila. The problem is mala oila she can't kolor. The problem is that an oila is completely burnt on a mizbeach, and you can argue because of that. That's why it requires suffering. So how do you even think to make a binyan av from it to a mincha which is not completely burnt on a mizbeach? That then you should have to have the pasuk to tell you otherwise. So the Gemara is fine. We can learn from Mechatas. You can learn instead from Achatas, which also has to be shechted in the north, and where also, and Achatas, unlike an Ola, the whole thing is not burnt on the Mizbeach. So we can try to do, instead of from an Ola, we'll try to do Binyan Av from Achatas. Can't. Malachatas, or can the Chaperas, or Chayve Krisis. Achatas has this in its favor, that's Mechaper, a person with Oibran, something that's Chayve Koris, and therefore it's much more stringent and requires suffering. Who says that a Mincha, which generally a Mincha is brought voluntarily, you have the occasional case where a person brings a Mincha Schoite, but on the whole, though, a Mincha is not coming to be Mechaper on something which would be Chayve Koris. So the Gemara says, fine, me osham. So fine, instead learn the binyan av from an osham. Which is, an osham comes for a certain averis, but it's not, none of them are chayav koris. Okay, the Gemara says, mala osham, shekain domim. The fact is that an osham involves blood, and in other words, it was an animal, it involves blood on the mizbeach, and primarily when we talk about kapara, we usually talk about blood. There are other kinds of kapara as well, but primarily the pasuk says, ki adom hu banefesh yichaper, the blood, that's the life force of the animal, is what's mechaper. So you can't learn, so you couldn't have learned from an osham either. And in fact, even mikulhu, even if you wanted to make a tzada shava between all of them together, you couldn't do that. Malakulhu shekein mine damim. Because all of them, everything we mentioned so far, oila, chatas, and osham, involve blood. So, whereas the mincha does not. So why would we need a pasuk to tell us that you got the mincha that you can do kmitzah of the mincha anywhere? Because otherwise we would have thought to compare it. Otherwise we would have thought to compare it to one of these korbanos. There's no reason to think that we should compare it to one of these korbanos. And therefore, we shouldn't need a pasuk to tell us that it has to be that it can be done anywhere in the Azara. Even without that, we wouldn't have had a reason to say that it has to be someplace, that it has to be in a particular part of the Azara in the north. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ela iftrich. Rather, the reason why we need the limud from the komatz misham to tell us that you can do the kmitza anywhere in the Azara is iftrich. We need it for a different reason. You would have thought as follows. The pasuk describes that the procedure of a mincha involves that the kohen takes the mincha and he brings it close to the mizbeach. He touches it to the mizbeach, which we're going to talk about here and further on Omer Beis, that the part of the procedure of the mincha is you take the keli that contains the mincha and you touch it to the southwest corner of the mizbeach. And then the pasuk continues. Then it says he should lift out the koymetz of it. Now actually these two psukim are not back to back. The gisha lamizbeach is in Vayikra in Perak Beis. The heder mimenu bekumtzoy is in Perak Vav in Parshas Tzav. So however, there are other places where it does say them back to back. The pasuk does say in Vayikra, they say some mincha, you should bring the mincha that the gisha on mizbeach, the hedim in a mincha as askarosa, you should take out of it the askara, the kmitza, and you have a similar expression in Parshas Tzav. So the Gemara may mean either of those, and similarly in Parshas Tzav, you have two psukim back to back that say that he should touch it to the mizbeach, and then that you should take the koimet. So evidently, one of the Foshim, the Tosfos Kedusha, says evidently the Gemara is quoting one or the other of those pairs of psukim, and then the copyists by mistake put one pasuk from one and one pasuk from the other. Whatever. The point is that we have a hekesh therefore between the kmitza, between the hagosha and the kmitza. So you would think therefore to learn ma hagosha b'keren ma rovis jerem. It's just like the touching it to the mizbeach is to the southwest corner of the mizbeach, as we're going to learn on Amud Bey is why dafka that corner. Ach kmitza b'keren ma rovis jerem. Maybe the kmitza dafka has to be done at the southwest corner. Kamash Malon, and that is why the pasuk needs to tell us for Kamas Misham that no, you can do the kmitza from any place, from a place where a zur can stand. A zur cannot approach the southwest corner of the mizbeach because that's far into the azara, and he has no business being there, and therefore so we see that the mincha doesn't have to be done there. And once we have that, then we can apply that to, we can say any place in the azara would be kosher as well. So that would be why the Torah needs to tell us, not because we would have thought it has to be in the tzofen, like kodshin, but because we would have thought it has to be in the southwest corner, like the hagosha of the mincha itself. The Gemara goes on, Amar Rav Yechanan, shlomim sheshachten v'heichol ksherim. If you shechted a korban shlomim in the heichol, then it remains kosher. There's a discussion among Achronim, does that apply only to a Shlomim? Does it apply to other Korbanos as well? We're only saying the Dievet, you should do that in Hatchila. You know, Hatchila, you have no business, Hatchila, you have no business shechting inside the Heichel. But the other, they shechted a shlomim inside, then it's kosher. And again, some say that it means not just a shlomim, but other korbanos, maybe other korbanos as well. In fact, later on in the Masechta, there's an opinion of Rabbi Akiva that says any korban where you bring, the pasuk says that if you bring a chatas, if you bring the blood of a chatas into the heichel, then chatas becomes posel. And Rabbi Akiva says that's not only a chatas or korbanus, but nevertheless, even Rabbi Akiva agrees that it has to be brought in lechaper in order to be mechaper. Then therefore, it wouldn't be posel over here. And besides, also another point one of the Mefarshim makes is that he brought in the entire animal, then therefore that's a reason that it wouldn't be possible. Other possibilities are he might bring it in through like a side entrance or a back entrance or something, and that's not called derech bia, and therefore it wouldn't be possible. Sort of Yechonah is saying that if you shechted a shlomim in the heichel, it would be kosher. Shenemo shchotoy v'shachin v'shachtu oisay. Really, actually, the pasuk says v'shacht v'shchotoy pesach oyel moed. And you should check the shlomim by the door of the oyel moed. So therefore, and Rabbi Yechonah says v'lo yeh tofel chomer min ha'ikar. You can't say that the secondary thing should be more important than the primary thing if the Torah is saying that a shlomim has to be shechted by the door of the heichel, meaning the heichel is the more important thing. And we learned in the previous perek that if the doors of the heichel are closed and the shlomim is possible, then we can't say that the shlomim, we can't say that it should be possible inside the heichel, because the heichel itself is clearly the more important thing in this regard than the azara. So again, does that apply only to a shlomim where it says that, where it says those words by it, or does it apply to other, does it apply to other korbanos as well? There's discussion about that. So the Gemara says, Mesi, I have a contradiction. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Seira, Omer, Braisa says, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Seira says, Minayin shemi kifu of the Kachovnas kol ha'azara. How do we know if Goyim are besieging the Azara and they're shooting arrows and stones and then catapults into the Azara? And historically there were times like that when there were times like that. So how do we know Shakoyim Nichnosim L'Shom that the Koyim are able to go into the Heichel V'Oichlin Shom Kodshe Kodshim and they're able to eat Kodshe Kodshim there, which normally they have to eat in the Azara. So how do we know that they're allowed to do that? Talmud Lema, therefore the pasuk is v'kodesh hakadoshim techlenu. You should eat it in the kodesh hakadoshim. Now kodesh hakadoshim means, in other words, inside the heichel. Whether it means the kodesh kodeshim itself is actually the subject of a machlokas rishonim. The Ramban in his pirush on Torah holds that it means that they can even go into the kodesh kodeshim if they have to eat there. Let's say the enemies are besieging the heichel as well, then they would be able to go into the kodesh kodeshim. But there are different other opinions about that, whether indeed they can go into the Kodshei Kodshim for that purpose. Rashi at least seems to imply that not, because he says that it just means that Kodesh HaKadoshim just means, in other words, in the Heichel. Doesn't necessarily mean the actual Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then there's further discussion about that. And then Chaschinuch brings up a point. What about if a person goes into the Heichel to eat the korban when Goyim are not besieging the Azara? Is he going to get Malkus because it's called Bia Reikonis? He went in for no reason, or is it considered that there's a shtickle reason because he is allowed to eat it over there? There's also a question whether this applies to Kodshin Talim as well, which can be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim. The Radvaz understands the Rambam to be saying that no, Kodshin Talim can never be eaten in the Heichel, or at least that if he eats them there, then the owner is not getting his full kapara, whereas another mefodesh on the Namam, the Kiryas Sefer, explains that nevertheless that it is kosher b'dieved. Anyway, so the pasuk says b'kodesh hakadoshim keichlanu, meaning that they were able to eat it in the heichel and maybe even in the kodesh hakadoshim when goyim are besieging the azara. An example of that, by the way, it's Megillas Tainis tells us that the whole process by which the Hashminoim reconquered the Beis Mikdash and eventually got the Greeks out of Eretz Yisrael altogether, it was a long process, and once they got them out of the Beis Mikdash itself, and they were able to relight the menorah and rededicate the Beis Mikdash and so forth, there was a fortress nearby called the Chakra, which comes from a Greek word that literally means fortress. So the problem was just that. It was near the Harabayas, and the Goyim would be shooting arrows from there and preventing the Kohenim from doing the Avodah many times, to the point where sometimes the Kohenim would have to sneak in at night in order to do the Avodah. So now they finally got them out of there. So now they finally got them out of there, and it was one of the days declared as a Yom Tov in Megillas Tainis, but we see that historically there were times when the sieges were so bad that they actually had to do that. Anyway, so the Gemara says now, the question is, am I? Now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, why do we need that pasuk? Neima, the pasuk says about Kodshim, b'chatzar oyel moed yichlua, they have to eat it in the courtyard of the oyel moed, and again, that means we're making it the courtyard of the oyel moed, and say the same thing, v'lo yehei tofel chomer min ha'ikar, what's secondary shouldn't be more important than what's primary. So that, again, if you could eat it in the Azara, alachas kama v'kama, you could eat it in the oyel moed, which the equivalent of that in the Beis Mikdash is the Heichel, and therefore, so you need that, you have that Svara, you don't need a Pasuk to tell you don't need to find the pasuk or shchotei pesach oil moyed. So why is Rabbi Yochanan saying that? So when it comes to a mincha, for example, where it says b'chatzar oil moed yichluha, you should eat it in the azara. Now, why would the pasuk? Now, so that's the point. By the mincha, why do we need the pasuk? The kodesh hakodashim pechlenu that you should eat it in the, that you could eat it even in the heichal. If not, why can't you use the svara of lo yeh tofel chomer ne'ikar? The fact that the brayser says that the brayser implicitly is saying that you can't do that. You have to use the svara. You have to rather have the pasuk the kodesh hakodashim pechlenu. That means the svara of tofel chomer ne'ikar is not a valid svara. So how is Rabbi Yochanan using that to say that you could shech the shlomim and possibly other korbanos inside the heichal? So the Gemara answers that, Hochi Hashta. How are you thinking to compare these two things? Hosam avoida. When it comes to shechting, the shlomim is an avoida. The odom oivid b'mokim rabbi. A person, it's not a lack of derech eretz for a person to do the avoida in the presence of his master, for a servant to do the avoida in the presence of his master, and therefore the equivalent over here for the koyanim to do the avoida in the present, directly in the presence of Hashem, meaning inside the heichal. To be sure, we learned earlier in the Masech, the Shlom, that the Shchita is not a full-fledged avoida, which is why Zorim are able to do it, but nevertheless, it is an avoida. We learned as far as Pigol, as far as Shloi the Shmoi, and so forth, and therefore, so we can say that it's an avoida, and a person eats. A person can do avoida where his master is. Amrin and lo yeh tofel chomer ne'ikar, so then the Svara, that the secondary, the Azora, shouldn't be more stringent than the Ikars and the heichal, is valid, and therefore, if you're able to do the avoida in the Azara, how much more so you're allowed to do it in the Heichal. But when it comes to Achila, when it comes to eating the Korbanos, the Eidon of Oichel Mokam Rabbah, it's not that characteristic to eat in front of your master. You eat off to the side. Even you have, for example, by the Seder, technically it says that a Talmud, even by in his Rebbe's presence, would eat by the Seder, but not to his Seder, because he's supposed to have he has Yira for his Rebbe. So it's not proper for a person to be eating in front of. In other words, the difference is the avoida is for the sake of the master. Therefore, it's appropriate to do it in his presence. The eating is not for the sake of the master, it's for the sake of the Eved himself. So it's not appropriate for him to be doing his own personal needs in front of the master. So then we can't say, then we're not going to say this idea of tofel chomer ne'ikar, because now there's another factor involved, which is they're going to be eating in it and wouldn't be derech eretz to do it inside the heichal, so to speak, more in front of Hashem. So now it's not like a tofel chomer ne'ikar. On the contrary, you're saying that the tofel is more lenient than the ikar. In the ikar, in the heichal is not a proper place to eat korbanos, but in the tofel, in the azara, then you can eat them there. So if we learn it that way, then it makes sense why we need a pasuk to tell us that they can eat inside the heichal, but you don't need a pasuk to tell us that they can shecht inside the heichal, because the shechting you can learn from a logical inference from a kal v'chomer of lo yeh tofel chomer ne'ikar, as Rabbi Yochanan said. So that's how we leave off then. So that's the halacha. You're allowed to eat kodshim in the heichal if necessary, and again, whether you can actually eat them in the kodshim is subject to a machlokes. Rashi elsewhere and in Menachos, this Gemara is also brought. Rashi explains the reason why we needed to be told us in the first place is because the same way as if you take the mincha out of the azara, you would think it's posel, it becomes posel. You would think the same thing. If you take it out of the azara into the heichal, it should be posel. And therefore, the posel is telling us that not. Now, actually, Rashi points out that based on what we're saying over here, you're saying that tofel chomer ne'ikar can apply over here as well, and you just have that you can't eat it, so therefore you don't need that anymore. You don't need, the chiddush is not that bringing it in there won't passel it. The chiddush is that you could actually eat it in there, even though you could have argued that it's not derech eretz too. From here through the rest of the perek and part of the next perek are going to be dealing with the dinim of a korban, of a brood korban. So you have those two types of korbanos that can be brought from birds, a chatas or an oila. Unlike an animal korban, you don't shecht it, you do malika. The korban cuts through the neck of the bird with his fingernail, as we're going to learn in more detail. And then you have the, And then you have each one of them, the blood is squeezed onto the mizbeach in different ways, as we're gonna talk about. So actually, it's gonna be really this perek, and it's gonna be really until the end of the next perek, we're gonna be dealing with these dinim. So now again, we had the animal korbanos. We had a brief mishnah about the menachas. We're not going into great detail about it because we'll have a masechta menachas for that. But now we need time to explain the dinim of bird korbanos. So you have those done malika, and then he squeezes the blood out onto the mizbeach in ways that we're going to talk about over the next couple of dafim, how it's done. By an oif, it's going to come out basically that there are only two main avodas. Unlike by an animal korban, where there are four avodas, shchita, kabbalah, hilocha, and zirka, by a brood korban, essentially there are only two. The malika, which corresponds to shchita, and squeezing the blood onto the mizbeach, which corresponds to hazar. There's no real equivalent of Kabbalah, because the animal goes directly from the bird's neck onto the mizbeach, and there's no halacha because you do it right next to the mizbeach. Although, as we're going to see, you don't have to do it right next to the mizbeach, but in practice, that's how they would do it. There's an interesting, cute word that I saw from Reb Zalman Sarotsky. And why is it that the Torah did such a thing, that you should do malika by a bird? After all, one reason behind shechita is because it's quick and painless for the animal. As we know, Adai Yemazeh, whenever PETA and other groups like that start bringing up concerns about shechita and claiming that it's cruel, b'chola, one answer is always that our method of shechita is the most painless one for the animal. So why don't we do that by a bird? Why does the Torah say instead you should do malika, which on the face of it is going to be more painful for the bird? So he says a cute vart. A bird is usually brought in a korban by a person who's poor. If he's rich, he would afford it. If he was rich, he would bring an animal instead. So sometimes you have a poor person thinks like, I'm tired of life. I can't go on living this way, being poor. I wish I could die. So we tell them symbolically, you should realize dying is not really that easy either. You look at this bird you brought as a korban, we're making it die in a way that's a little harder. So realize that that's not exactly an out for all your troubles either. So the Mishnah says, Chatas ha'oif hoisem nasas ha'ken dreimus ma'arabis. Let's talk first about a chatas ha'oif. Later on, we'll talk about the oilas ha'oif. So a chatas of a bird, hoisem nasas, it was done, meaning the malika and the squirting out of the blood was done by the southwest corner of the mizbeach. Over chol makom hoisem ksheira, it was actually kosher anywhere, as we're going to see in the Gemara, anywhere, even the malika could be done even anywhere in the Azara. But this was the place for it. We'll see in the Gemara what that means. If it's kosher anywhere, then why did they designate a particular corner for it? We'll see in the Gemara about that. And the Mishnah says, there were three things that they would use that corner of the Mizbeach for, up above, below, in the lower half of it, and three things above. As we learned before, the Mizbeach had a demarcation line around the middle of it to distinguish the top half from the bottom half. We learned that in Mishkan there was a copper netting that the edge of it marked that off, and in the Beis Hamikdash there was a red line painted around the Mizbeach. So now we're saying just that one corner, the southwest corner, had three functions that were done on the bottom half and three on below the Chut HaSikra and three on the top half above that line. So what are they? Milamata on the lower half is as follows. Chatas ha'oif, the squeezing out of the blood of the chatas ha'oif, because unlike animal korbanos, where a chatas, the blood goes on the top half, and all other korbanos go on the bottom half, with brood korbanos it's the other way around. The blood, the chatas goes on the bottom half, and oila goes on the top half. So the first thing is the squeezing out of the blood of the chatas ha'oif goes on the bottom half of the mizbeach by the southwest corner. The hagoshes and the hagosha, as we said before, mincha, they have to take the kohen has to take the keli with the mincha in it and touch it to the corner of the mizbeach. So that's also done at the southwest corner, as the Gemara is going to work out for us from Psukim. So the fact that the chatas ha'oif is done on the bottom half, we learned earlier in the Masechta, we're eventually going to learn that the reason is because the pasuk implies that the blood of the chatos has to wind up on the yisoid, and there's no way if they do it on the top half of the mizbeach, it's not going to wind up on the yisoid because you have the soviv in between. We'll talk about later actually that the soviv is above the midpoint of the mizbeach, so they could conceivably do it below the soviv, but we'll see. We'll get to that. Okay, as far as the mincha, Mefoshim discussed why it has to be done on the bottom half, maybe because of the hekesh with the chakas ha'oif, or maybe because the mincha itself is called chatas, and the chatas eventually you have to pour the remainder of the blood on the yisoid on that corner. So where exactly we learn from the mincha that has to be that that has to be the southwest, we're going to learn in the Gemara, but where we know that has to be the bottom half that you have in the Machlokas, where we learn it from. And the third thing was the shirei adam and the leftovers of the blood of a chatas, and for that matter other korbanos, which as we learned in the previous parak, the shirei adam, he would pour it on the southwest corner, and that means they would pour it on the southwest corner because as we learned the south didn't have a yisoid. So those are three things that were done on that corner on the bottom half of the mizbeach. As far as the top half, nisuch hayayin, when they poured wine on the mizbeach, then they would pour it in that southwest corner, because as we learned a few blocks ago, that's where the shisin were, that's where the drainage channel was located for those to drain underground. As we learned previously in the first Beis Hamikdash, that drainage channel and the pit that it went into was outside the footprint of the mizbeach, and then in the second Beis Hamikdash, they enlarged the mizbeach and put that inside it. So there's that. V'hamayim, and the nisuch hamayim on Sukkos also was on that same corner. V'ola sa'oif kshirabah b'mizrach. And the third thing is the ola of a bird when there's a lot of it in the east. Normally, an ola sa'oif, the melika and the squeezing of the blood would be done on the southeast corner, as the Gemara is going to explain for us later in the parak. But the koyin would have to be standing on the soviv. Because an Ola Sa'if has to be done on the top half of the Mizbeach. So when there's a lot of Ola Sa'if being brought, and that corner is crowded, then instead the Kohenim would go to the southwest corner and do it over there. So those are three things that were done on that corner of the Mizbeach. Rashi actually learns that it doesn't mean that he would stand on the Soviv, but Rashi actually learns that he would go up to the top of the Mizbeach, and then do it over there. Mainly he would do it in the southeast corner, because that's the closest area. The Gemara is going to end up explaining on Daf Samach Daled the reason why that was the preferred corner, the southeast, is because that's closest to the Beis HaDeshin, where you have to throw certain parts of the korban before burning the rest of it on the Mizbeach. But again, when it's busy over there, so instead he would go to the southwest corner, because that's also fairly close. And Rashi understands actually that it means that he would actually go up to the top of the Mizbeach and do it over there. Tosfos later on explains that no, he would actually continue to stand on the soviv in that case. But we talked about yesterday about the extra ramp, whether there was an extra ramp there to be able to go down from there or whether or not. So that also factors into this. Okay. The Mishnah continues. Kol ha'olam l'mizbeach. Anytime a person goes up to the Mizbeach, the first turn they make is to the right, going to the east, as we learned yesterday, that whenever you're turning, you're supposed to turn to the right. And then they would walk around the Mizbeach, the Yodin, Derech Smol, and then they would come out, and then they would go around the whole Mizbeach, the Yodin, Derech Smol, and they would come out from the left side. So let's say, for example, Rashi says they have to do Avodah, they have to do the blood of Achatas, or the Sidur of Maharacha, they have to arrange the wood pile on the Mizbeach, or use the large forks, the large pitchforks that they had there to turn over pieces of the korban on the fire, so they'll burn better. So then what they would do is, they would come down, that Rashi described, we're talking about over here, they're on the top of the Mizbeach, they would come down the left side of the Kevesh. So they would start going up. So when we said before they would turn right, would mean also they were going up the right side of the Kevesh. The Kevesh, as we learned yesterday, is on the south. They would be going on the eastern side of the Kevesh, and then they would go up. They would go around the Soviv, or around the top of the Mizbeach, as the case may be, and come down on the west side of the Kevesh. With the exception when a person is going up for one of the three things that we said are done on the southwest corner, on the top half of the Mizbeach, the Nisuch Hayayim, the Nisuch Hamayim, and the Oila Sa'oif, Those Shoyolim v'Yodin al Akiv, those that would go up and they would return down on their heels, meaning exactly the same way they came. They wouldn't go around. They would go up the Kevesh and immediately turn to the left. Now, why not? We said that you're supposed to turn to the right. We'll learn in the Gemara why they would do that. So they don't have to go all the way around the Mizbeach. They just need to. Now the point is, Tosfos says it's not just that we're not just saying that so they don't have to walk extra. The reason is because now when they turn around and walk down, then they're walking. Get him in. They're turning to the right and walking down. So therefore, that's fine. Why they did it in this case, that for these three things they specifically went to the left, we'll deal with, and then we'll learn in the Gemara. We'll learn in the Gemara on Daf Samach Dalad, Bez Hashem. So the Gemara says Minohani Nidi. Where do we know this from? Where do we know that the Chafas Ha'oif is on the southwest corner? Amar Rabbi Shua, Amar Kra. The pasuk says by a mincha. So start by a mincha, by minchas chote specifically, a mincha that a person brings as a korban ol v'yored, when he did the various things that make him chayav, a korban ol v'yored, shvuas vitri, shvuas edus, tumas mitzvah shvukodshel. And he has to bring a korban, and if he's rich, he brings an animal as a chatas, and if not, then he brings two birds, and if he's even poorer than that, he brings a mincha. And the pasuk says, lo yosim aleha shemen, he should not place oil on that mincha, v'lo yitin aleha levoina, and he should not place levoina on it, unlike most menachos, ki chatas hi, because it is a chatas. So the simple meaning is that because it's a chatas, and therefore we don't want it to look beautiful and fancy. But we learn from that, chatas kruya mincha, or mincha kruya chatas. In that way, we see, therefore, that a chatas is called a mincha, and a mincha is called the chatas. Because, you know, in effect, what you're saying is, the chatas that he should have had to bring, if he could have afforded it, instead now becomes a mincha. And the mincha itself is called a chatas. So, ma chatas to'unat sofrent, at mincha to'unat sofrent. So, we can learn from that just like the chatas has to be done in its suffering, as we learned in the previous parak, so also the mincha has to be done in its suffering. Now, Rashi says there's something wrong with this girsa. The fact is that the mincha does not require suffering. We just said in the previous Mishnah, on Omer Aleph, that the mincha can be done, and that the kmitza can be done anywhere in the Azara. And the Braisa is going to go on to say the chatas oif, and the chatas oif doesn't require suffering either. And you can't say maybe a minchas chote is an exception. Rashi says that the correct gusa maybe should be just like a chatas is poshul shaloi l'shma. The same thing a minchas chote is poshul shaloi l'shma, which in fact is what the Gemara tells us in Menachas at the beginning of Amos Sechta. We talk about shaloi l'shma, that if you shech the chatas or a korban pesach shaloi l'shma, then it's poshul. And the mincha in Mishnah at the beginning of Menachos tells us the same thing as far as Menachos, that one of them is the Minchas Choyte, the Mincha that a person brings for a Korban Olah V'Yored. Again, if it's done Shalom V'Shma, it's possible. So it actually says that's what the Gemara should be saying over here, that the limud would be, just like the Chakas has to be Shalom V'Shma, and if not, it's possible, so a Mincha, the same thing. Tosfos brings a long discussion about that and several other gusois. Tosfos questions Rashi's explanation because the Gemara in Menachos learns that from a different source. And you also have the problem of Hekesh on top of a Hekesh. So Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Chaim, who has a different girsa. Just like the Chatas Ha'oif, the blood has to end up on the Yisoid. The same thing the Mincha, the Hagosha has to be near the Yisoid. We just talked about before. How do we know that the Hagosha of the Mincha has to be done on the bottom half of the Mizbeach? Well, Rabbi Chaim says this is where we learn it from this comparison over here, that it has to be close to the Yisoid, so therefore on the bottom half of the Mizbeach. Tosfos discusses that and brings another gusa from Rabbeinu Tam, just like the chatas has to be done with the right hand, the same thing the mincha, the kmitza, has to be done with the right hand. Meaning, in other words, not like Reb Shimon, where we learned earlier in the Masechta, that he says that the avoida could be done with the left hand as well. So we would be saying that it has to be dafka done with the right hand. And then there's another point the Shita Mukubetis brings from the Riva, that gives another possibility that it means that just like the kibble daman of a chatas has to be done in the north, maybe the same thing, the kmitza, the koimetz, when it's placed into a plisharis, has to be done in the north. But Rashi shrugs that up as well. So there are a number of different possibilities what the Gemara means over here, but in any case, it doesn't seem to be saying that the Chatas and the Mincha require Tzofen, because it's not really, there's different other things what the comparison is. And, so Umam Mincha, the Keren Ma'arov is Dremis, just like the Mincha is touched to the Mizbeach, at the southwestern corner, Af Chatas, the Keren Ma'arov is Dremis, the same way the Chatas Oif, the main thing of it, the sprinkle, the squeezing of the blood, is done by the southwest corner. So that's how we get that corner. There are acronym discuss, is it ma'akiv, the Tzoyin Kodshim and the Choyt Nosan say that it's ma'akiv, the Sfas Emes and the Chofetz Chaim and Zevach Toida say that it's not ma'akiv. And the argument is, because first of all, there's a point, we don't have Shana or Akos of La'akiv, the Pasuk doesn't repeat it, and we have the general rule where if it doesn't repeat something, it's not ma'akiv. But besides that, also, the Hagosha of a Mincha itself is not ma'akiv. If you didn't do Hagosha by a Mincha, you just straight away went ahead and do the Kmitzah, the Korban is still kosher, so the same thing by a Chatas Sa'oif, you can't say that if you didn't do it Dafka by that corner, it should also be possible. So, Mincha Gufa Minolon, by the Mincha itself, where do we know that it has to be done by the south, that it has to be done, it was supposed to be done by the southeast corner. So like Moshe Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, the Pasuk says about the Mincha that it has to be Lifnei Hashem. It has to be in the presence of Hashem. Yochel B'mayrev. So you would think that means in the west, because that's the closest to the Heichel, so that's, so to speak, more in the presence of Hashem. Talmud Loma, Tanya, Lifnei Hashem, Yochel B'mayrev. Talmud Loma, El Pnei HaMizbeach. Therefore, the Pasuk says it has to be by the face of the Mizbeach. And as we learned before, the face of the Mizbeach means the Kevesh, which is to the south of the Mizbeach. E al Pnei Mizbeach, but if you were going to go based on al Pnei Mizbeach, Yochel B'dorim, you would think that means that it should be completely on the south. Talmud Lomar, Lifnei Hashem. But the fact is, it also says Lifnei Hashem. So how do you reconcile that? Paul Ketzad, Magdisha, the Keren, Ma'arovus, Dremis, so you do it to the southwestern corner, to the Chuda Shokeren, to the corner where the two walls meet. And therefore, so you do that, the Dayoy, and that's enough. You don't need more than that. You don't need to touch the actual Mincha that's in the Keli. It's enough that you touch the Keli itself to the wall. So you do it on the corner, Gaska, because if you do it on one direction or the other, then you're not doing it, then it's not Lifnei Hashem, or it's not whatever, yeah. That also is subject to the Machloikas that we learned at the beginning of the Perek about the positioning of the Mizbeach, because if the Mizbeach is completely in the south half of the Azara, then it comes out that the southwestern corner is not really Lifnei Hashem. Because then you don't have, it's not directly in front of the door of the Heichel, or even of the Olam. So that opinion would say that we have to learn it in a different way. Rabbi Yezer is a different way. Yochu yagif shekel ma'arov l'ma'arova shokeren or l'droima shokeren. You would think, fine, maybe it means he has to be on the south and it has to be on the west, but maybe it means that it could be either one. You could do completely on the western side, or completely on the southern side, or at least that you could do it. Fine, you could do it near the corner, but not exactly at the corner. Says Rabbi Eliezer, or Marta, you have to think like this. Kol makom shata motzei shnei mikros, whenever you find two psukim, echad mekayim atzmo, mekayim chaveri, one upholds itself and upholds the other one as well. Ve'echad mekayim atzmo, mevatel chaveri, the other one would seem to uphold only itself, but contradict the other one, manichin zesh mekayim atzmo, mevatel chaveri, we set aside, we don't doubt from the word, the one that seems to contradict the other one, but kofsin esh mekayim atzmo, mekayim chaveri, we hold on to the one that's mekayim itself and the other one. So in other words, over here, we have two psukim, one of which seems to contradict the other, but the other which reconciles the two of them. So Rabbi Eliezer says, Shata Omer, El Pnei Hashem, Lifnei Hashem, it's supposed to be, when you say that, it's supposed to be Lifnei Hashem, B'mayrav, the question is, Heichem Kiyamta, El Pnei Hamizbeach, but how are you fulfilling El Pnei Hamizbeach, which implies the south? Chata Omer. El Pnam is there, but Dorim. But when you say El Pnam is there, which means on the south, Kiyamta, Lifnei Hashem, but Dorim, then not only are you fulfilling El Pnam is there, but you're also fulfilling Lifnei Hashem. Because you do it on the south, but as close as possible to the west. So it doesn't necessarily have to be on the exact corner, but it doesn't have to be on the exact corner, but it's close enough. So you ask, Heichen Kiyamta, what do you mean? How are you fulfilling Lifnei Hashem? The fact is Lifnei Hashem means the west. The answer is Amar Ravashi Kosova Hai Tana, because this Tana, Rabbi Eliezer holds Kol Mizbeach, it's Sofen Koi, the entire Mizbeach is in the northern half of the Azara, and therefore even the southern side of the Mizbeach is directly in front of the door of the Heichel, and therefore when you're doing on the south Lifnei Hashem, then you're doing on the south it's still Lifnei Hashem because directly in front of the door. So in other words, the Tanakhama is saying that not, it has to be Dafka on the corner, and Rabbi Eliezer is saying that can be someplace along the south. And can be someplace along the south, closer to the corner. The Shidduch of Kubetz points out that this is talking about this pasuk is talking about Minchas Nedava, about a voluntary Mincha. How do we know the same thing applies to a Minchas Choyte? And the answer is because the pasuk says that you should bring the Mincha. That means any Mincha, even Minchas Choyte. Okay. So the Gemara continues. The Mishnah had said b'chol mokum hoisak sheder b'chola, that the chatas ha'oif was kosher anywhere, but this was the specific place, the southwest corner. So the Gemara says my ka'ama. What does that mean? If this is the specific place, then what does it mean? It's kosher anywhere, or the other way around. If it's kosher anywhere, why did they designate the specific place for it? Amar Rav Ashi Hoki Kama. What the Mishnah means is b'chol mokum hoisak sheder l'mlikasam. You could do the malika of the burg of the chatas anywhere you want. You could do it in the top half. You could do it any corner in the mizbeach. Ela zehoi mekayim lahaza osa. But this is the place. The southwestern corner is that's where the sprinkling of the blood is. They would do it because practically speaking, if you do it anywhere else, the Tiferes Yisrael points out, the blood might leak out of the brood as you're walking it over, and therefore you wouldn't have the chance to do hazah. But in principle, you could do the malika anyway. So the Gemara says, Tanena lahod tanan abanan. In this way, then, the Mishnah tells us briefly what we learn in more detail in a Braisa, which means to tell us, therefore, that Braisa is reliable. When the Braisa says, Moka b'chamokam ha-mizbeach k'shera, if he did the malika any place on the mizbeach, it's kosher. There's a discussion. Does it mean that dafka has to be done by the mizbeach, or do we mean even that it would be kosher if it's done anywhere in the Azara, even further away from the mizbeach? When it says, b'chol mokum, doesn't mean any place on the mizbeach, or doesn't mean any place in the Azara. Anyway, so if you did the malika any place on the mizbeach, it's kosher. He's a dumb b'chol mokum k'shera. If he squirted out the blood onto the mizbeach in any place, it is kosher. He's a v'leng mitzvah k'shera. And furthermore, if he squirted it, but he did not squeeze it out, what you would do is first he would squeeze out the blood of the chatas from a distance. He would hold the body of the bird a couple of inches or a couple of feet away from the mizbeach and squirt the blood towards the mizbeach. And then mitzvah, then he would press the body of the bird against the mizbeach to squeeze out more blood. So if he did that, k'shera, then it's kosher over vadshi yitin mechuta sikur olamatim idama nefesh, as long as he does some of the dama nefesh on the bottom half of the mizbeach below the chuta sikur. If he does the chatas oif, again, it has to be on the top half, on the bottom half of the mizbeach. So some dama nefesh at least has to go on the bottom half. We're going to learn in subsequent prakim of our mesechta. We're going to talk about what happens if he mixed up and did it in different places, and really the entire Masechta Kinim, or not the entire, a fair part of Masechta Kinim talks about mix up where he did what was supposed to be on the top half, on the bottom half, and vice versa, and you have all kinds of complicated dinim over there. So the point is, the Braisa says explicitly that the Malika is kosher anywhere, and therefore that means that Braisa is reliable, And therefore it's kosher. So the Braisa finishes. So the Gemara finishes off. However, we have to ask my comma. What does the Braisa mean? First, it says that the Hazar is kosher anywhere, and then it says that it has to be done dafka on the bottom half of the Mizbeach. So, and Rashi points out, it can't mean that if he did it on the top half, then b'dieved, he can do it on the bottom half as well, because he's a dhamma implies that he did the entire hazah. So that would mean that even if he did it, all of it, on the top half, it would be kosher, and yet we're saying it's kosher only if it's on the bottom half. So the answer is chokmah. What the b'raisa means is, moka b'chamokim ha-mizbeach tredah. He does the malika any place on the mizbeach, and maybe even according to some mafoshim, maybe even anywhere in the Azara, then it's kosher. Mitzah dama b'chamokim ha-mizbeach tredah. If he squeezed out the blood from the body of the bird directly onto the wall of the mizbeach, then it's anywhere. Shein hizav le mitzah tredah, because the fact is that if he only did the hazah, if he only did the squirting from afar, then it would be kosher, even if he didn't do the mitzah at all. So even the mitzvah was done in the wrong place, then it's still kosher. Over vadshi yitim nechotas sikra lamata midama nefesh. However, he does have to squirt earlier. Before that, he has to squirt the dama nefesh below the chotas sikra, and if not, the korban is possible, and that would be what the b'raisa means. So was he mekayim the mitzvah of mitzvah? In that case, then you have machloekas achroinim, you have machloekas lechazan ish, and Revel Hobrisker between that, whether it would be considered mitzvah at all, and therefore the question is whether he'd have to do mitzvah again. But in any case, as long as he did, hazah, which is the squirting out of the blood from the body of the bird onto the mizbeach from a distance, then that, as long as he did that below the chutah sikra, then the fact that he did mitzvah someplace else is not ma'akiv, and the korban is still kosher. Okay, so then we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, discussing about the various things that take place by the southwest corner and then the rest of the dinim that we said in the Mishnah. And we'll continue talking about dinim of Chafas Oif.